Do you like pork chops and sausages and baby back ribs and bacon? Ah, bacon. How about lobsters and shrimps and oysters? Well, then you should be grateful to Saint Peter. Absolutely, as we heard in today's first reading. Saint Peter was questioning whether or not the Gentiles who were converting to Christianity should also accept the Mosaic law, including the dietary laws that prohibit any pork and shellfish and so forth. Now, if he had made the wrong decision at that time, can you imagine? 2,000 years without bacon? what a suffering. See, at first, all the disciples were Jews. The apostles were Jews. So they all knew and kept or tried to keep the Mosaic law, including the kosher law. But when Gentiles, Greeks, pagans began to convert, the question was, do they need to embrace first the Mosaic law? Should men be circumcised? Should they give up all the prohibited meats and animals? Peter had a vision. He dreamt that food was coming down from heaven, all kinds of animals, and God told him, eat. But there were also forbidden animals in that. And he said, oh no, Lord, I will never do that. And God answered, what I have made pure, don't despise. Then he woke up, and some people knocked on his door, saying that a pagan, a Roman centurion, Cornelius, had a vision to call for a man called Simon Peter to come and preach to him. Once again, Peter was faced with a dilemma. Should he go to the house of a pagan, something that was forbidden by the law? But he went. And that's where we find him in today's first reading, in the house of Cornelius, a man who was touched by the Lord and wanted to become a disciple of Christ. Peter began to speak, but he was not even able to complete his speech, his homily, that the Holy Spirit came down upon Cornelius and all in his house. The Holy Spirit, God took the initiative. God did not wait for Peter to complete his job. God went ahead and sent down the Holy Spirit. You see, God always takes the initiative. We also heard in today's gospel and second reading that God takes the initiative. He doesn't wait for us to make the first step. Jesus says in the gospel, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and I appointed you. Religion is not a matter of choice. It's a matter of being chosen. And in the second reading, also by St. John, the evangelist, we read, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us first and has sent his Son. You know, we value freedom of religion. It's protected by the First Amendment. And we interpret that as freedom to choose the religion we want to follow, or none. But not according to Jesus. In Jesus, it's not what we choose. It's the fact that he has chosen us. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. God takes the initiative. Sometimes we have a distorted image of this. In many religions, it feels like we have to please God. You need to be good if you want love to God to love you. You need to behave if you want to be blessed by the Lord. It seems that, you know, God's love is conditioned by how we live our life. That's wrong. God loves us first. Whether we deserve it or not, whether we are good or bad, God loved us into being. Our existence itself is an act of love by God. God does not need anything. He does not need us or anything from us. If He created us, if He gives us life every day, it's because He loves us freely, without condition. He chose us. He loved us first. He did not wait for us to convert, to begin loving us. You know, we, especially in religious traditions, spiritual circles, talk a lot about our search, our quest for God. I'm looking for God. Think, for example, St. Augustine, who spent his youth really searching for the Lord without finding Him. Think also of many people who really spent countless years looking for answers, for meaning, for purpose, looking for God. And so we think that, you know, our faith is the result of our search, of our efforts. It's not so. God has loved us first. In the Bible, it is God who is searching for us. It is God who is knocking on our door. Even when we did not deserve it. The letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 8 and 10 says, God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. He loved us when we did not deserve it, when we were enemies. And today's reading all invite us to become aware of this God of predilection, this unconditional love. Why does God love us so much? We are told in today's second reading, because this is who God is. Love is not something that God does. It's not one of the attributes of God. Love is who God is. And to us Christians, this is the only explanation of this mysterious truth about the Trinity of God, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In one word, how do we explain that? God is love. He's a Father, a lover. He's a Son, a beloved. And He is the Holy Spirit, the love that unites them. God is love. And so, always, God loves us. But now my question is, if God's love is unconditional, then why does Jesus say in today's gospel, if you keep my commandment, then you will remain in my love? There's an if, there's a condition. Doesn't this contradict all I've said so far? If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Well, we have God's love. God cannot but love us. However, we remain in that love only when we love. You see, there's a beautiful song in Spanish that says, amor es verbo, no es sustantivo. Love is a verb, it's not a noun. It exists only when you love. Otherwise, there is no love. Love exists only in loving. And so we are loved by God, but we remain in that love only when we transform that love that we have received unconditionally into loving. When we pay forward what we receive, when we give to others, when we do not try to hold on or grasp, but when we give it away. We have it only in the measure that we give it. And that's why Jesus gives us a commandment. This is absurd, by the way. Commanding love. If I were to tell you, I command you, it's an order, love me, you would probably think I'm crazy. And I would get probably contempt instead of love. And yet Jesus says, I give you a commandment to love one another, to pay forward the love you receive from my Father and from me. What is this love that we are commanded to give to each other? You know, English is a poor language when it comes to love. There's only one word for love that I know of, and it's love. I found out that Robert Johnson wrote a book in which he says that Sanskrit, the ancient Indian language, had 96 words for love. 96. So the love of your wife is not the same word that you would use when you say, I love pizza. It's not the same. Or if you talk about the love of your daughter and the love of your job, it's not the same. And Robert Johnson says, Eskimos have 30 words for snow. They need to be precise when they talk about snow because they live in it. So their lives depend on naming the right kind of snow. They have many words for snow because that's important. The fact that we only have one word for love maybe indicates that love is not as important in our culture. But this is who we are called to be. We are loved by the Lord without condition, called to love others, to pay forward, to give to others the love that we receive so that we may remain in it, called to love one another, and yet we know so little about love. As we listen to today's readings, I think it's very important that we allow this love to touch us profoundly, deeply. This is who we are meant to be. Nothing else matters. Only the fact that God loves us and invites us, commands us to love as He loved us. This is the most difficult part of the commandment, as He loved us. Love is a many splendored thing. You remember that movie? Love can come in many different shapes and forms, but the commandment we received is very specific. Love as the Father loves me, as I have loved you. Divine love, agape. A self-forgetting, a self-sacrificing love. When we do that, what's the result? Jesus tells us, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. That's the secret. That's the good news. You want to be happy. You want to have joy. Imitate God's love. Receive God's love. Pay forward God's love. Become a friend of God. I don't call you slaves. I call you friends. You know, we are friends only when we respond to each other's love. I cannot say I'm a friend of the Queen of England because I like her. If there is no reciprocity, we are not friends. The Lord Jesus tells us, be my friends. I call you friends. Respond to my love. So we pray today that we may know God's love. We may feel, experience this unconditional love that we receive. And that we may remain in that love. We may love one another as He has loved us. I close with a quote by Khalil Gibran, the author of The Prophet. He says, when you love, you should not say, God is in my heart. Rather say, I am in the heart of God. When you love, you are in the heart of God. Amen.